All right, welcome into Double Fries No Slaw, Sunday, February 8th, Super Bowl Sunday. I see Richie with his Tom Brady jersey on. Listen, before we even get into things, Richie, you follow the NFL so much closer than I do. Does it feel like there's less hype around this Super Bowl, or is that just me living outside of this NFL bubble that I don't care about the Super Bowl, so like I'm not seeing as much of the stuff? Or do you feel like this is, does it feel like Super Bowl Sunday to you? All that's like, I guess that's what I'm trying to ask.
It does. I do think there's less hype. I think it'll probably be one of the lower rated Super Bowls of the past maybe 5 to 8 years. You know, the Seahawks don't really move the needle. I think the Patriots are obviously a very intriguing story. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, it's, I'm not really feeling the hype. So I agree with you on that.
All right, Richie. Give us an intro and tell us a little bit about your weekend. I'm going to restart real quick, give a rundown of the show. Harlan says my connection is terrible, so it's all you for a couple of minutes, and I'll be right back. No pressure.
Yeah, no, right? Not scripted. Yeah, no, excited. It was a good weekend. Good week. Went in with a wife and volunteered at Second Harvest Food Bank on Thursday for one of her nutrition classes. So, you know, kind of knocked out two birds with one stone there, which was really nice. You know, took it easy Friday and Saturday. You know, today we had church. It was actually pretty cool that they called it. For the show today, you know, we have a couple things. Obviously, if you haven't heard, Florida State has some financial issues currently, and you know, that's obviously never a good thing. So we'll get into that a little bit, what it means for Florida State, what it means for Florida State's future moving forward. Mike Norvell, you know, it's been, you know, announced that he will take over play calling again for Florida State. So what does that mean for, you know, Florida State's football season next year and potentially beyond? Obviously, Gus Malzahn announced his retirement. I think, you know, he just saw the mess it was and didn't want to come back for next year. So there's that. And then, you know, we're going to do some more blind rankings. And if you haven't been watching the past few shows, it's a really fun, you know, segment we do where basically we have five different items, topics, etc. And one of us makes a list and the other person has to blind rank it one by one as we go. So, you know, for the off season, a decent bit of Florida State news, actually, you know, especially with, you know, what it could mean to the program moving forward. And we're going to get into all of that today and more, maybe do a little bit of Super Bowl talk at the end and, you know, just see what our thoughts are there. But TJ's back. I somehow survived it. Thanks, TJ.
Good work. Listen, I looked at the time. That was less than 2 minutes. So these computers can restart pretty quickly. So I'm, for as much as I paid for it, it better restart quickly. Speaking of paying for things, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and 2870 Appalachia Parkway for to-go or carry-out. Also, they can take care of any of your catering needs. I don't know if you can reach out to them fast enough to get stuff done for Super Bowl Sunday or not, but I'm pretty sure you can. There have been times that I've forgotten to put an order in for a tailgate. Now, that's not Super Bowl Sunday, but it is Tallahassee Saturday, which is still pretty insane. So hit up the fine folks at Guthrie's if you haven't ordered for the game tonight. We do shout-outs a lot at the end of shows, and so I'm going to start with one, and I really don't mean to bring the mood down, but there are a lot of things that are a lot more important than football, and I didn't want to stick this at the end of the show where most people that tune in and rewatch it later would miss it. So we're doing it at the beginning, and if this brings the mood down, it brings the mood down. I'll try and do my very best to bring it right back up and just transition this into football, but I think we really need to be reminded at times that every day truly is a gift. I don't want to give out a lot of information or put things out on the airwaves that people, without getting permission to do this, but I've just got a really good buddy who, I mean, he's actually a UF fan, you know, but like just a normal dude, just like you or I, who might be watching this. I think he's my age. Had a 5.5-year-old little girl that lost her battle with leukemia this week. And they're Christians and they believe, you know, they believe like I believe that they'll see her again. But just like the worst thing imaginable. I've got a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old and couldn't imagine having to deal with that kind of pain. My little three-year-old's like always in a bad mood and always grumpy. So the day that it actually happened, or the day I found out about it, he was actually in a great mood when he got home. And just a reminder to like hug your kids a little tighter and try and remember that we get really caught up in stupid things like football and, you know, athletic debt and who's calling plays and everything else. But there are a lot more important things out there. So, you know, again, I don't want to say people's names or put information out there that I didn't ask permission to do beforehand. But yeah, a good buddy of mine, if you believe and could send some warm thoughts and some prayers their way, they certainly would appreciate it. There is no way to transition a horrible topic like that other than to just kind of get into it. Actually, what I'll do to maybe soften that a little bit is I will tell you, if you're in the mood at all to do something good for people, you can go to Tallahassee Ford and you can give to their Night to Shine event, which happens in 5 days, this Friday upcoming. You can literally just donate to the event that goes on where they take care of a lot of people with special needs. And it's kind of a prom style event that they do with a local Baptist church there in Tallahassee. Don't really know what to, tell you guys you should do, but give as you are able. So appreciate Tallahassee Ford for really being a huge part of that and heading that up. And would certainly like to shout them out at any point that we can. So, all right, there's all my sadness and advertisements for the day. We can move on and we can talk about football. Richie, what are we starting with here? Are we starting with, let's start with Gus. So Florida State gets the news just the day after we did. Well, no, it was Monday. We didn't do a show last Sunday. Florida State gets the news that Gus Malzahn is leaving. I did a reaction to this, but didn't really talk about the impacts that it would had. I talked a little bit about Gus leaving and my thoughts around that, how I don't love the timing of it. I don't know if it makes or breaks a season. It probably makes the Alabama game look a little bit more difficult because the Tide Slayer isn't there. But before we talk about Mike calling plays, which I think is probably the most interesting part of this, what was your immediate reaction to Gus calling it quits?
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't surprised that he's left after last season. You know, I think he came here thinking maybe he could parlay it into a head coaching job if he wanted to continue coaching. You know, these coaches retire, some come back, some don't. But I agree with you. The timing is the only thing I have a problem with. You know, you wait till, you know, what, February now, and till you decide to make that announcement. That's one that his mind had probably been made up. Maybe he had been struggling with that decision. I don't know. But it's just, again, not great timing. It puts Mike in a tough spot because the problem now is a lot of coaches that were on the market have been hired, and it makes it much more difficult to find somebody, which is probably what led to the news that, you know, Mike Norvell is going to play calls again. We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, I just think it's really poor timing. Just as I would be pretty upset if Mike had fired a coach, you know, last week or this week, whenever it was, because again, these people have families and they got to figure their things out. So it's a little different when you are retiring as opposed to getting fired. But yeah, I just think that the timing was not great because Gus played a role in recruiting a lot of these offensive transfers we brought in. And now they're like, okay, I guess we're stuck with whoever comes next.
Yeah, I think that's what's tough. And Harlan's telling me that my camera is not great. Sorry about that. I've got everything closed on the computer and was hoping that restarted would fix it, but it seems like it hasn't. So bear with us there. Hopefully the audio, he says that stays pretty good. So maybe a blessing that you guys don't have to look at me as much today. There is some speculation that there could be some health concerns with folks, you know, in his family, and certainly don't mean to make light of any of that or say that that stuff isn't serious. You know, from what I've been told, that stuff has been pretty existent for the last little bit. Like, that's not like a brand new development that we just got to February and things took a pretty bad turn. It, to me, feels a lot like Gus just ultimately didn't want to do this anymore. And I think when you factor in, oh, there could be some health stuff going on with some family. Yeah, you're not going to sacrifice that time with your family for a job that you're not super enthused to be at. I have, you know, I don't know this beyond all shadow of a doubt, but I've heard some things that maybe their relationship over the last year wasn't the best. I mean, you've got two alpha males that both want to kind of be in control at a lot of times. So yeah, I think there were several factors in play here. You know, Gus ultimately looked for, I mean, at the end of the day, Gus looked for another job in December and contemplated retirement in December. Had he done either one of those, Florida State would have been in a better position to be able to go out and find a suitable replacement for him. There was talk about Pitt's offensive coordinator coming in, Cade Bell, with potentially that Heinschel kid that absolutely tore us apart in his first start as a freshman in Doak Campbell. So you would have loved to seen what that looked like. But as things often go for Florida State over the last 2.5 years, no, it just could not be normal, right? We couldn't get past, you know, the Super Bowl, you know, well, not the Super Bowl, but the national championship and the playoff and the portal and everything else and keep the staff together. So unfortunate timing. What that leads us to is Tim Harris, his offensive coordinator. I don't know. To me, Richie, it very much feels like when Alex Atkins was the offensive coordinator, like his responsibilities were certainly increased, but it's not like he was the end all be all. Mike was calling a lot of the plays, had a lot of the impact on, you know, offensive install throughout the week. It was Mike's offense that they were running, and Alex was there to provide support and certainly had more responsibilities than just the offensive line. But this feels like a situation where Mike is probably the offensive coordinator. Tim Harris is elevated into that role to provide a ton of support, which is needed because that's just a lot for a head coach. But this season will fall squarely on Mike Norvell's shoulders. I don't know, man. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing at the end of the day. I guess it kind of depends on what you want the most out of this season. I know that our fan base is very split on what they want out of this season. I know that some people want to. I mean, by and large part, yeah, every fan out there would take 12-0 if that was a realistic possibility. I think a lot of fans just kind of want to get through this season. And they feel like the admin is punting on this season. I mean, I know that Bud Elliott has probably used the word punting more this offseason than any other time in his history of covering college football in Florida State specifically. But I know a lot of people feel like the admin is punting on this season. And so if that's the case, just get through it and get us to 2027 where we can maybe start fresh. What is maybe ironic about it is you were forced to hire an offensive coordinator to come in here and run things. And as luck would have it, that offensive coordinator leaves you at a time where you can't go hire a new one. Like, not that they can't, but who could you go out and realistically spend the money on? I guess the one pro is that you don't have to pay. I mean, you're saving money on the staff this year compared to last year. You're not having to pay his salary. If you did have to buy coaches out, you're not going to have to buy him out. You fired Pat Surtain. And so you're paying replacements for some of these positions like JP and like others less than you were paying in the past. So I guess a slight benefit is that you are saving some money there. I don't know how much the typical fan or the average fan cares about saving money. They just want to win games, right? At the end of the day, they see an organization that made $200 million last year in athletics, not made, but brought in $200+ million in revenue, and they just want wins at the end of the day. So saving a couple million, I don't think makes anybody happy. I think they just want to see wins. But it does lead us to Mike Norvell calling the plays for Florida State. Richie, the last time he did that, Florida State finished 132nd in scoring offense. They finished 131st in total offense, 131st in third down offense, 130th in rushing offense. And the one bright spot, they finished 101st in passing offense. So, you know, the bright spot of just barely being in the triple digits there out of 133 FBS teams. Do you have confidence that Mike can get it back as a play caller? I know what your answer is.
So I have several thoughts on this. One, I think it's the right move for him to take the over play calling again, because I think that's probably what he wanted, because he knows he's on a sinking ship. And if he's going to go out, he's going to go out calling the shots. So I think from Mike's perspective, this is exactly what he wanted. And he's perfectly fine with it. But I'm not excited about Mike calling the plays. I think Jordan Travis, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, a lot of these guys really masked the inefficiencies of Mike Norvell's offense at this level. You know, I think to his credit, he's usually phenomenal when it comes to the first drive that's scripted plays that they practice all week. but then he just can't get a feel for defenses. We saw it when we were in Ireland, TJ, where Florida State marched right down the field, scored a touchdown, had a beautifully designed two-point conversion, and then the offense just disappeared right after that. And, you know, that's my concern. But again, if it, we talked about this a few weeks ago about just how difficult the schedule actually is. If you don't just look strictly at the names of the teams, but what they're bringing back, who they have, this is going to be a difficult schedule. And just having one good drive to open a game and maybe sprinkling in one or two more in, throughout the game is not going to be enough to get to a bowl. And I just think, you know, I respect him for saying, you know, I'm going to own this. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But yeah, I'm not excited about it as someone who has to watch this product every Saturday, or I guess every Friday nowadays.
I mentioned the 2024 offense. 2023 wasn't much better. You think about how good that offense really should have been in 23. And I know we had that kind of explosion in the LSU game. They were the 19th best scoring offense. So they did put up points at a top 20 clip. Total offense, they were 54th a game. Passing offense, they were 46th out of 134 teams. Rushing offense, they were 77th. And then third down, they were absolutely terrible. They were 97th. And so really since 2022, where I thought the offense did look really good, I thought the offense looked better and more fluid in 2022 than it did in 2023. It felt like we had more weapons in 23, but just couldn't figure things out offensively that year. And the numbers kind of back that up. They did a good job scoring. That scoring is not adjusted for defense and special teams, which you did have some scores on that side of the ball, or adjusted for turn. You know, the defense forced a lot of turnovers that year, and you had short fields. And that's why you can see the total offense, the yardage, the third down efficiency, how well you ran the ball, passed the ball, were all pretty pedestrian. You did put up 34 points a game. But man, that offense in that 2023 offense was a struggle for a lot of it to watch. And you felt like you really should have been beating teams a lot worse than you did. I'm with you, man. Like, this is on Mike's shoulders. You know, he knew the risk when he went out and hired Gus, and he knew that that was very more than likely a 1-year thing. In fact, Gus got 12 months into this thing and tried to look for another job. And if anybody would have wanted to hire him, UAB or Arkansas or any of these places, he'd have been gone anyway. Now, that would have given Mike time to pivot and find someone else, but he knew the risk of hiring Gus when he brought him in. And hiring Gus, let's call it what it is, was a Hail Mary. Like, that's what that was. You were hoping that you could get enough wins to save your job. And they did that. So credit to them. Now, you know, we have a lot of thoughts on the administration keeping him after a 5-win season, but hey, he threw the Hail Mary and somehow there was pass interference in the end zone and they completed, you know, they got it done, but you knew the risk going into it. And so now, yeah, this is squarely on Mike's shoulders. I think it's probably a better option to have Mike calling plays than Tim Harris. And that's not any kind of shot at Tim, but I don't know that I'd have a lot of confidence in him doing it. Mike has at least shown some propensity to be able to do this. I think that they probably stick pretty close to what Gus did. I think there are some wrinkles that are probably not going to exist now. I think also just look at the talent that's in here. Man, they really struggled offensively the last couple of years. And does this team have more or less talent offensively than you have had in the past? Well, it certainly has less than 22, 23 with all those big names and Jordan not being there. The offensive line will probably be pretty similar to what it was last year. The running back room may be slightly better with Trey Wisner there, but we'll see how much they rotate guys. Wide receiver room, pretty similar to last year. So it's not like they've, and quarterback's the big question, right? Like, does Ashton Daniels or one of these guys that we've talked about, any of these guys, do they play better than Tommy did? Well, Tommy had some really high highs. He had some low lows. There's no doubt about it. But to me, it all kind of comes down to quarterback play. I don't know that Mike's play calling is enough to really have me juiced up or excited that the offense is going to be better than last year. I think you're hoping that the offense can stay above water and be about what last year's was, which was really, really good at times and then absolutely anemic at other times. When you go up on the road and score 11 points at NC State, when you score 17 points against Florida, when you score 10 points against Clemson. Yeah, it was really, really bad at times. I think you're hoping it can be better than that in the moments that matter. Yes, this offense will put up plenty of points against New Mexico State. It'll put up plenty of points against teams like, you know, Boston College, you would hope, against other teams on the schedule. But how do they look when the rubber really meets the road and you play teams that have a pulse? Because last year, back half of the year, they were pretty awful. So I don't know. This doesn't change my win total idea. We didn't predict game by game, Richie, but I think I'm at like 6-6 right now. Do you have a thought?
I'd probably take the under on that. Is there a Vegas spread yet? Because I would assume it'd be like 5.5 or 6.5. I think 5-7 is more likely than 6-6 right now.
I think you're probably right. I've been so negative lately that I'm trying to hope myself into a bowl game. Yeah, I would agree with you. If Vegas offered a line right now, which I do have a theory on this, I never bet season win totals because I just don't like the idea of Vegas holding onto my money all year. Yeah. Like that drives me nuts. Like I like to bet on a Friday and the game happens Saturday and you have your money by Saturday night, you know, or whatever. Like just to me mentally. Now, if they were paying you out more, like kind of like how you bet on a national champion, I'm okay with that because the payout is so much higher, or a Heisman winner or something like that. But just to get kind of even odds and, you know, you bet $100, you make $100. I hate the idea of Vegas holding my money for that long. So I never bet win totals. If there was a six, if the win total was 6 right now, I think I'd take the under. I think I'd take it pretty comfortably. I think at 5.5, I'd probably take the under as well. That doesn't have the insurance for going 6-6, like you would, you know, because the hook. But yeah, I'd be under as well. But I'll say this. I don't know that Gus leaving is the reason that I'm not like one win lower.
My outlook on the season has not changed one bit with Gus leaving. It's just another, you know, a black eye for Florida State when something like this happens this late. You know, if he had gotten a head coaching job, like you said, at a smaller school, nobody would really care. Just him choosing to leave when he did. But yeah, the fact that Gus is not going to be here, I don't think his wins above replacement is a full game by any means.
No, I agree with that. I do think that the Bama game is going to be tougher now. Like, I don't even mean that like as a joke. I think that somehow he schemes stuff up against Bama. I'm not saying we definitely lose that. I'm not saying we were definitely winning it before. I had that as a loss early. I do think that one's going to be tougher now.
Yeah.
Because of whatever happens to Gus Malzahn when Bama's on the other sideline. So maybe
he just has that magic for when he sees that crimson.
So, all right, let's well, you know what? We'll do sleeper in a minute. And we'll do that after this debt thing. We'll talk about the Super Bowl a little bit in a few. Florida State's debt was a big topic of conversation. $437 million, if that number is correct. The Sportico article came out and dubbed us the kings of the debt. Yeah. Richie, we ain't been kings of anything for quite a while. And so it was actually kind of nice to be number one. Now, since then, Penn State has taken over and, man, they've got $500 million in debt. So they're even higher. I put out a video as soon as this happened. And so trying to like calm some fears about this, I think that the article was meant to rile up a fan base and rile up rivals that know that everything is bad right now for Florida State. Gus had just retired the day before. They're kind of in a mess everywhere, NIL-wise, everything that's going on, just season outlook. I don't think this debt is that big of a deal on its own. As you know, on the face, Florida's about to do a $400 million stadium renovation. Obviously, you saw Penn State just a day or two later from the Florida State article dropping. Penn State has a massive amount of debt. Florida State secured bonds that are low interest. They're not 18.5% like your average credit card. And they're paying it back on fixed assets that they're going to own forever. Like it's not like the IPF or the stadium are just going to be gone here in a couple of years or something crazy will happen. And if something crazy to happen, they have insurance on it for that very reason. They made stadium upgrades to ultimately make more money. I would be very interested to see how much revenue things like the Savannah Bananas, which I'm going to in a couple of weeks, or the PBR that's coming, or the different events that are happening in Doak Campbell Stadium. I'd be interested to see like how much revenue those are bringing in to really start to chip down at that debt. I saw that he's not coming to Florida State, but like Morgan Wallen's going to Gainesville. He's going to Clemson. I saw George Strait's going to play at Clemson. Is Florida State going to start to get in the mix for some of those type of events that can really start to pay down some of the debt, or how does, you know, how does that work? Because you made these upgrades to try and make it more than just a football stadium. What kind of, like, how much does, do those things help with chipping down at some of that debt that you owe? Obviously the debt is just like your credit card payment, not being 18.5%, but you pay a year, you know, I don't know if it's quarterly or yearly or monthly, but you pay a yearly, you know, you have a yearly line item that is paying down that debt. And even with the massive amount of debt, Florida State cleared what, $3 million this year. You know, you don't want to show that you made tons and tons of money, but you want to be pretty close to breaking even as an athletic department. They did that. They made a little bit of revenue. So even with all the trouble, even with all the debt, even with all the losses, they still show that they were profitable as a business. You know, you can make, I mean, at the end of the day, you can make money even if you have credit card debt, right? Like, you can bring more money in than you have in expenses. And so you might be upside down from a debt to credit ratio, but you are certainly still, you know, if you made money this year and you finished with more money in the bank than you didn't, then, you know, you're fine as long as you can kind of afford your payments. This is not financial advice by any means, but Richie, any other thoughts on the debt? And then I do want to turn this on to maybe something that is more concerning with the debt, but any other big picture thoughts? I know that I just rambled for quite a while on it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's obviously a staggering number. If you just read a headline or just see a tweet that's made to be, you know, clickbait, it's what it is. But, you know, a lot of that money is simply into new assets. You know, the football-only facility, which every Florida State fan wanted. You know, the stadium upgrades, which some people are kind of indifferent on because some people lost their seats and things like that. But at the end of the day, these are all investments. And yes, while it does put you into debt, their goal, and if the things are operated correctly, it will all work out in the end. So, you know, I think, again, it's a staggering number. But as you mentioned, as an athletic department, they were profitable from a revenue standpoint. And like you said, you do not want to be, you know, $20 million over budget in revenue. In terms of what you get, because the NCAA is, you know, technically a nonprofit, and that's how they like to operate. So I understand all that, but yeah, it is definitely a staggering number. However, I don't think it's as huge of a deal as a lot of people want to make it, because if, you know, so if you were to find out, you know, one of your friends, you know, had $100,000 in debt from last year, but they bought a new house. Okay, well, that's going to clearly pay for itself over time. So I think that's kind of where it's at. So yeah, it's a big number, but at the same time, I don't think it's overly concerning.
Here's where my concern ends up lying with this, Richie, is you just brought in $3 million. You made, right? So you brought in, what, $203 million in revenue, and your expenses were 200, right? So I don't know if those numbers are exact, but go with me here. I think the athletic department made $3 million last year, which is fine. Most athletic departments want to run, you don't want to make $40 million, you don't want to lose $40 million, right? Like, you want to be somewhere in line with that so that you can, if you have a little bit of a surplus, great. If you're a little bit under, that's fine too, because then you usually get your budget raised a little bit the year before. Remember the Office episode where they had a surplus and they were trying to buy a chair because they needed to spend the money to show that, yeah, you need this much money to run again next year. So they were trying to, you know, figure out, are they buying a new copy machine or a chair or whatever?
If you don't use it, you lose it. Like, that's
right. Yeah. So here's my concern. The margins are razor thin right now. And you've got a coach that's being paid $10+ million and a pretty expensive staff, though you have lost some of that with Gus leaving. You've got a pretty expensive staff, and you've got a coach that's making $10+ million a year to ultimately lose more games than he can win. You also have revenue sharing thrown in right now, which is another $20 million a year off of your budget. You also just opened up a brand new program. The women's lacrosse team got their first win in program history, in their first match in program history. So shout out to them this weekend. You have a lot of things going on that are pulling at different aspects. And I don't know what the yearly total is on that line item for this debt, but I know that that is also something you are now having to pay on an annual basis. Mike Norvell's contract is not going away. Even if you fire him, you still have to pay him. Rev sharing is not going away. You're going to have to pay these players no matter what. This debt is not going away anytime soon. You can't just file bankruptcy on it and say, oh, well, never mind, we don't want to pay that anymore. where's the money going to come from if they don't start winning games? Because booster donations right now, compared to where they were a year ago, are not at the same spot. Like, people are actively choosing to not be boosters. And we didn't see it impact season ticket sale or ticket sales. Most games were sold out. So credit to the fans for continuing to show up. But Richie, if they start this year 1-2 with a win against New Mexico State and then losses on Labor Day and then at Alabama, and the season is effectively, you just know where it's going again. Mm-hmm. Are people showing up for the games down the stretch? Are they showing up for that Virginia game? Are they showing up for the NC State game? The Florida game's on a Friday night. That puts a lot of people in a tough position on, are we showing up or not? Especially if Florida is 6-5 at that time, right? And you've got two middling teams again. Are you selling all these games out? Now, I would imagine the Clemson game probably is still a sellout. I'm sure Labor Day night against SMU will be a sellout. But man, if booster donations slip just a little bit, and then ticket sales slip just a little bit, and then you have to fire Mike Norvell and you got to find this money in the budget, this is where I can see it for going poorly for Florida State, because they got to pay Mike one way or the other. They got to pay down this loan one way or the other. And if less money is coming in because people are just not paying like they were because your product is ultimately bad, how do you figure that out? How do you navigate that? You're also in a spot where you have not been the most viewed team in college football in the ACC the last 2 years. Now, it goes by a five-year rolling total, and your numbers in 21, 22, and 23 were good. So you're still in that top three. But how many more of these years can you stand being on the ACC network for some of your bigger games and your Florida game and your Clemson game being stuck at noon while Miami and other teams are playing all the primetime games because they're the good teams? How long can you sustain that and then not get that extra money from the ACC? Florida State will make more money from the ACC this year than 16 other teams because of where their viewership has been on a five-year rolling total. But if you keep losing games, you're not going to keep drawing the same eyeballs. I understand that Florida State's still got a better brand than most teams in this conference. I understand that's not going away. Like, even if somehow Georgia Tech, again, had more viewers than you, they're still a smaller brand, less people care. But if they keep getting the better game times, that's why people watch, right? People ain't watching Florida State on a Saturday at noon on the ACC network if they're playing Pitt when there are just better games on TV. So that is a concern of mine, is you are taking on a lot right now. Winning, like we say all the time, fixes everything. They've got to win games. I'm not super confident that they do that this year. I don't have a lot of hope with, you know, the Gus news and everything else we've heard. But that is my concern, is you have a lot of obligations now between rev share, Mike's contract, new programs at Florida State, and this loan that you have to pay back. If you're not winning enough games, that's going to put the athletic department in a very tough situation. And paying a buyout is not going to help at all. So that's where it concerns me a little bit.
Yeah. And I think there's so many layers to all of this in today's college football world. You know, one thing to also think about, you know, we talked about, you know, booster membership, you know, possibly taking a bit of a hit the more losing seasons we have. Well, at what point does the Battles End start taking a hit from donations, because they're like, listen, I gave you guys $10,000 last year and watch us win five games. You know, I think all of those, you know, people have a finite amount of money. Sure, there's some whales out there that are Florida State boosters, but the average booster, like you or I, TJ, you know, we want to see some sort of ROI on our investments. And, you know, we've clearly not seen that. Obviously, 2023, everyone was super excited. But yeah, if people stop coming to games, you know, there's a lot of local businesses that donate to athletics. And if their business sales go down, because instead of, you know, 70,000 people coming in for a game, only 45,000 people come in for a game, that's less sales for them. That's less, you know, money they have to be able to offer. So I think, you know, Florida State is in a very trying time, and we don't have to get into the entire email, but Michael Alford sent an email out to the boosters, and it was very pointed in basically saying, guys, we need you now more than ever. And, you know, with Florida State is clearly, I don't think it's a completely dire situation, but it's certainly not good.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when they, it's hard to predict the future. It's hard to know exactly how things are going to go. When a lot of these projects were started, I mean, a lot of this stuff started, man, in the spring of 2024, right? Really after that Florida game in 2023. When a lot of this was started, you thought you were kind of on a success path where you were going to be making a lot of bit more money because you were going to continue to win games. You just won, what, 19 in a row before you lost to Georgia. Yeah, I mean, you thought you were in a really good spot. And I don't think they could have foreseen a scenario where you won 7 games over 2 years. That has consequences. And when you bite off a lot more than you can chew, you know, it's like your example that you mentioned on buying a house. Well, yeah, buying a house sounds good. Then you lose your job and you're like, how am I going to make this mortgage payment? Like that's the same thing, right? Like, yeah, Florida State didn't make the decision poorly 2 years ago because he thought the money would just keep rolling in forever. But they have now lost their job essentially with what they've done the last 2 years. And it's okay. Well, if we don't find a job, if we don't start winning games, I don't know how we make this mortgage payment. If the money doesn't continue to come in like it has been, that is a real concern. So we'll see, man. Those are a lot of people that make a lot more money than I do that have to figure those things out and make those decisions. So we will see how all that goes down. Let's give Sleeper a little bit of love. There are some free picks on the Sleeper app, and then we'll do our blind rankings. There are some free picks on the Sleeper app, some bonuses that you can go check out. You can go do all of that by using our code DFNS for a 100% match up to $100 on the Sleeper app. We appreciate them for their support. There's picks for both teams all over the Super Bowl. You can go do college basketball. I see the basketball team has won, what, 4 or 5? So that's pretty exciting. You can do that with the NHL when they get back from their break. I don't know if the Olympics are on there or not. I'll actually pull that up right now. But NBA is going strong, all the things. Make sure you're over on the Sleeper app. We appreciate them for their support. No, I don't see the Olympics. Sorry. No Olympics on this thing. But tennis, whatever you're looking for, they'll get you taken care of. We appreciate Sleeper for all of their support. All right, Richie, it's on you this week. What are we doing?
All right. So you've probably heard there's a big game tonight. So I thought I'd switch it up just a little bit, but still keep it Florida State related. Obviously, Super Bowl 60 is tonight, the Seahawks and Patriots. And if you're listening Monday morning on the audio podcast and not live, that's fine, because this will probably help you out if you're going to Tallahassee this year. But TJ, here's the premise. You are throwing a tailgate party, and I'm going to give you 5 different menu items from restaurants in Tallahassee, and you will blind rank them.
Okay.
All right. So the first one we're going to start with, again, this is for a Super Bowl party. Wings tossed in a sauce of your choice from Hobbit.
Listen, I'm sorry, Guthrie's, but that's number one, and I'm doing Garnet and Gold sauce. Like, if Guthrie's comes up later, like, they're not going to be number one on this, but it is, yeah, I get that. I don't get Guthrie's every time I'm in town. And I'm not even trying to, like, it's just, you know, there's a Guthrie's close to me. I can get fried chicken a lot. Like, I just, Hobbit, Wings, Garnet and Gold, number one.
All right.
Sorry to everybody else.
All right. So next up is probably the most famous menu item in Tallahassee for game day, and that is Madso's BLT dip.
Oh, okay. I've made this at home a couple of times. It's not quite as good as it is at Madso, but it's still really good. Like, melted cheese is melted cheese. You know, like, it's really good. Whew. I feel like I should save a spot for this. But I personally love this too. And I even get the French bread from Publix. Like, yeah, when I make it at home, I might make this tonight. You might have just inspired me to make this tonight. So yeah, I'm sorry. Again, if Guthrie's on here, I'm really sorry. Number two, it's number two. That is, right. Everyone likes it. Like, it is such a good, number two.
All right. So the third one, and you called it a tray of chicken tenders and Guthrie sauce from Guthrie's.
Okay, I'll put this number three just to not be disrespectful. And again, the gut sauce is really good. This is the most versatile thing on the menu because it's the easiest. It's the thing that people can just keep going back and getting another one every single time. Yes, this is number three because of its versatility and because if I put it at 4 or 5, I feel like that'd be disrespectful. We're just going to order here. I'm going to switch these last two up no matter what. Hopefully you give me something bad.
So next up, I'm putting a little twist on this, but I'm sure you've had it. Cubanos and seasoned fries from Gordo's with Gordo's sauce. But instead of full Cubans, We're going to cut them up in like three, like smaller sizes for a platter, kind of like a public sub platter.
Okay. If you would have included a Gordo smash, I would have redone my rankings and put it number one. But since you didn't put a smash in with it, I'm going, okay, don't hate me on this. I like Gordo's, and I actually met their owner a couple years ago at a golf tournament, and he, great guy. I'm going five here. And my reasoning is they're so filling. Like the bread kills you. And I've already got the bread from the BLT dip that I'm going to be dipping into the dip there for Madso. I'm not crazy about Cubans, and I live in Tampa, which it has a better Cuban than Miami. I'll stand on that. But okay. I'm not, they're so filling, man. You like one of those is enough. And usually that's just a filler on my plate. Like I'm not like dying for Cubans in the middle of a Super Bowl party. Yeah. The seasoned fries are great. I like the white sauce that you can dip. Like all that's really good. I'm going five here. Also, I didn't want to go one, two, three, four, five when you were giving them out.
So you're number four. And again, first of all, I just want to say all of these, in my opinion, are really good options. Like I would eat at any of these places and have any of these menu items. So your number four is going to be pizza from Momo's.
Okay. See, I like that. If I've got to fill up on bread on either pizza or I'll take a slice of pizza over that, especially if like I can pick, well, you know what? I'm the most boring person when like I get extra cheese and pepperoni every time on pizza. Like that's just my order. Like I like a good solid basic pizza that doesn't need to have all the frills. My kids like my son Brian likes barbecue pizza, which is fine. Like I'll eat that, but I'm just a regular extra cheese and pepperoni. So I don't know that I would change this up. I think this would like this might be the first time we've ever done this. My blind rankings would literally be the way I just gave them to you. I don't know that I would change anything about it.
So the way I would go is I agree with you wholeheartedly that, first of all, Super Bowl and wings are synonymous, right? They just go together. So Hobbit wings would definitely be my number one. I would probably put the chicken tenders from Guthrie's at number two, just because, like you said, it's just such an easy thing for a Super Bowl party. Like someone can go in with a napkin or a paper plate. It's not very messy or anything like that. It's not like someone sitting on your couch eating, you know, extra wet chicken wings, you know, freaking out your wife. I'd put the Madso BLT dip at number three. Again, a good dip at a Super Bowl party, you can't beat that. And then the reason I said the Cubans from Gordo's chopped up in smaller pieces, so it's instead of like a 6-inch, you get like 2-inch pieces, because you can just grab one and, you know, you're probably good on that. Like you don't need any more than that. And then pizza from Momo's. I love Momo's, but that was going to be my number five. And I had the benefit of doing this, coming up with these places myself. TJ did not, but I think he's pretty proud of the way he ranked them.
I'm not upset. This is the best one that we've ever done. And well, no, there has been more fun. Like, but the way that I rank them is the best of the three that you've given me. I've ranked these really well. So
yeah,
good job on this for you. So, all right, that's all I got for today. We gave some love to, Guthrie, Tallahassee, Ford, and Sleeper. Richie, any shout outs or anything before we get out of here?
Yeah, shout out Harlan, our extremely awesome producer. You know, my wife is taking a nutrition course right now in college. And for one of her assignments, we had to go volunteer at a food bank. And I took a bunch of pictures and videos. I sent them to Harlan. And literally within like, I don't know, less than a day, 12 hours, he had me the complete video exactly how I wanted it. And I think she's going to get a really good grade on that. So shout out Harlan.
Get it, Harlan. Speaking of charity, since he did the clapping for himself. Speaking of charity, I went to a place on Thursday called Clean the World. It's there close to you in Orlando, Richie, kind of near the airport. And what they do is they recycle soap. And I know that didn't sound very exciting. I know that sounds a little bit different. But what they do is they send soap from hotels that's like used. Now they scrape it off and they melt it down, melt all of the impurities out, and then reform it. And they send this to like underprivileged and places, kids all throughout the world that die of like bacterial diseases and diarrheal diseases and stuff like that. And what they've done is when they started the company, 8,000, I mean, talking about my buddy's kid, 8,000 kids a day died from just lack of hygiene. They've cut that number down by 60% since they started their business across the world. And that number, and they, when I talked to him, he said, yeah, that number's still too high. We're working to try and get that number down even more, but 8,000 a day, cut down by 60%. Somebody better at math than me can do the numbers on that. I guess that'd be
1500 or so, right?
Yeah. Like it's way, way down. And so huge, huge impact. I literally just did a tour and checked it out. So Clean the World, you can go check them out online. They're not a sponsor or anything like that, but I was really impressed with what they did and was happy to go check that out. So some good news and some good things kind of going on in the world, even despite all of the bad stuff and, you know, Florida State Athletics. So shout out to the softball team, 5-0 this week. Baseball gets their season kicked off here this weekend in Tallahassee. Like we talked about, lacrosse with a 1-0 start to their program ship. And shoot, I think beach volleyball gets going here in 2 weeks. I think women's and men's tennis is up and running, track's all going. So all the spring sports where we're actually good at things are going on. Right. So enjoy those because the fall will be here before you know it, unfortunately. So that's all I got. Richie, Harlan, thanks for hanging out. Y'all enjoy the Super Bowl today, and we will see you guys next time. Go Noles.